Hello, everyone, and welcome back. This is the third edition of the Triple Hop session series. I'm Charlie. You can find me at CharlieAiling1 and at CraftCanGang.
I'm Ryan. You can find me on Instagram under the handle The Bearded Beer Blog. At least we've got my actual handle there.
That's a great start. We're definitely professionals. And today we are joined by a very special guest. We've got Simon Gifford. Simon, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi guys. Thanks for inviting me. I'm Simon, and you can find me on Instagram under @gif_star.
So today is going to be a slightly different episode to the two that we've released already. We're going to be kind of exploring a topic, not necessarily in depth and definitely not talking as experts, but the thing we're going to be talking about today is glassware, the big fragile elephant in the room. And we've got Simon on for this one because he is uniquely qualified to talk to us about glassware, but we'll come on to that in a minute. Before we get onto glasses, just want to recap some of the comments we got about the last episode, which was our adjuncts that we'd like to put in the bin forever, Room 101 episode. This one was quite divisive, I think. There are a few people that suggested some things that I personally love in beer. I think Jonathan Davis suggesting coconut has wounded me forever.
Yeah, I was the same. I felt the same. I love coconut as an adjunct, especially in a big imperial stout. So I don't agree with him there, unfortunately.
No, but I've got to say there was quite a lot of agreement with the ones that we suggested, with a couple of people saying that my chocolate orange one was a little bit played out.
Yeah, I think like definitely on the peat and smoke, there was a lot of people who definitely agreed with that one. Again, like Matt Kelly commented last time, he said that it was just basically getting the seed. It's the destroyer of beers. Doesn't want his beer to taste like TCP poured in the mouth of a cigar smokers. So
he did also accuse me of having a soft palate, which, you know, a few years ago I'd probably have to agree, in fairness.
Yeah, and then the other one which we actually didn't bring up and a few suggested was banana, the bearded apothecary?
I think it's apothecary.
Apothecary, yeah, the bloody Yorkshire accent just can't get that word out. but yeah, I think there seems to be a lot of hate for banana out there. Personally, I love banana and stout. I mean, one of the famous ones on Instagram is James Crawley. Hates bananas, as so he's actually had a glass made, and somebody on Instagram has a glass with him printed on the front of it, I think, and it's from Print All, holding a bunch of bananas with the phrase "dirty bastard." So I definitely don't think he enjoys bananas at all.
So that's a very smooth segue onto glassware. But just before we move on to that, Simon, what were your thoughts on our adjunct picks from last week?
I found it difficult to choose between them, actually. I think, you know, I agreed with all of the ones that Ryan and yourself both said. You know, I particularly find kind of smoky stouts quite difficult to drink. You know, anything with kind of, you know, citrus, orange, those kind of things, I find pretty difficult as well.
What, like in a stout?
Particularly in a stout, you know, I think, you know, even adjuncted IPAs with kind of fresh orange juice, I think, you know, a little bit played out. But yeah, no, the stuff you've just mentioned, coconut, banana, you know, that kind of stuff I love in my stout. So
there's nothing better in a big stout, is there?
Yeah, chocolate, vanilla, coconut all day long.
So, just works.
For sure.
Brilliant. So glassware. The proper glassware topic. We've got Simon on for this one because, as I mentioned at the beginning, he is very well placed to talk to us about proper glassware. I'm going to start off, Simon. How many glasses do you own, do you think?
So I suppose just to kind of go back a bit, I'm I suppose very humbled to be invited on to today's show, and you know, not quite sure how I got into glassware, but at the moment I've probably got a collection around kind of over 200 brewery glasses, from kind of UK, US, Europe, and it's growing all the time. You know, it's an obsession. So, you know, I'm not sure my qualifications are there in terms of kind of proper glassware, but I've definitely got a passion for it.
You know, at what point do you stop counting the glasses and start counting the cabinets you have full of them?
So my other half, she's kind of vehemently kind of suggested that we've got to have a one in, two out policy from now on. So yeah, I did have two cabinets. I've kind of taken over the kitchen cupboards. Obviously, they went a long time ago. Moved into a couple of different, a single glass cabinet, then had two glass cabinets. I've now got my third glass cabinet, which I've got behind me now. And I'm kind of going to the point now where I'm trying to kind of, you know, maybe kind of rein it back in a little bit and try and, you know, just kind of collect pieces that kind of mean a lot more to me. So yeah, I suppose that's what I've gone for. But yeah, about 200 and counting at the moment.
That's an insane amount of glassware. Ryan, have you ever done a stock take on yours?
I've thrown a lot out. I think it got to the point where there was nowhere for them to actually go. So I was like, these need to go in. I think it is. And there's ones where I look at and I'm like, I'm never going to drink out of this again. So I have binned a lot and given some away. But I reckon currently a lot of them are boxed up, but I've probably got over 100.
Yeah, I think I've got to be getting there.
Yeah.
It happens when it creeps up on you.
What's that?
It creeps up on you for sure. You've got kind of 5 or 10 and then you turn around and you've got, you know, 50 quite quickly.
There was a time recently where I wanted to get rid of a few and I put some out in the recycling bin and I witnessed the recycling man take one out of the recycling bin and like put it in his hi-vis pocket. But he's definitely using that this weekend. So out of your 200 odd, what's like the pride of your collection, would you say?
I think I was thinking about it actually, and you know, I've got a lot of glasses that, you know, not only have got, you know, lots of secondary value and stuff like that, but I think the glasses that mean the most to me have got, you know, memories attached to them. You know, some of the glasses that I think I value emotionally the most are probably glasses I've got from festivals, you know, where I've spent some really great times with friends, drunk new beers I've never tried before. And I've got things like, I don't know, the Indie Man glasses, the Friends and Family glasses, Arundel glasses, you know, all of that kind of stuff that really means a lot to me. And I suppose kind of thinking about, you know, when we all go and do our, you know, trips off to different breweries and things, you know, even local breweries and, you know, even ones further afield. You know, I was thinking back the other day where I went to Grimm Brewery for the first time in New York and, you know, went to that tap room and had the most amazing night listening to live music, drinking their beer and, you know, just soaking up the atmosphere and kind of picking up a glass from that evening kind of just made, I don't know, it's that memory that you look back on every time you drink one of those beers. And although it's not, you know, the most intricate or exciting or whatever glass that I own, it's got the most kind of memory attached to it. So I think for me, it's those kind of more simple ones.
I totally get that. I think the same every time I use the Arundel glass from last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's that blue thing, the blue decorated thing that's the kind of bowl shaped. Like it's not a shape of glass that I especially love, but I keep going back to it just because it is so sentimental.
Makes you smile when you use it.
Yeah.
It, you know, brings back those memories. So no, yeah. I'm exactly the same. Exactly the same.
Yeah. Ryan, have you got like a pride of your collection?
I was similar to like Simon really. I think the similar thing with the festival glasses. I think like my Hop City 2018 glass, I like really like using that, especially for like photos. It's just a nice little Craftmaster. But out of like the glasses that I kind of like to use the most is probably my it's kind of pretentious, my Monkey's glass, my LA Dodgers 2020 World Series winning glass.
Very cool.
I just think it's just a cool glass. Like I love Tekus and yeah, it's a cool glass with like the Monkey's hop with the Dodgers colours. It's one of my favourite glass that I own. About yourself, Charlie?
Yeah, it's a tough one. It is a really tough one. I think probably it's the verdant glass that I've got that every time I post it, someone comments saying, I've never seen that glass before. And it's because it's from Falmouth Beer Festival 2018, when Verdant were the sponsor and they sponsored the glasses. And it's like a, you know, that stemmed gamma glass. A tall tulip, I suppose you'd call it.
Yeah.
And it's got Verdant on the front, but you have to fill it with something murky because it's got camera on the back. So you've got to make sure that it's really full of something that's completely opaque. But like, I've never seen anyone posting in them on Instagram, but there must be tons of them around because that was like a full weekend festival. So there must be loads of people in Cornwall knocking around with really rare Verdant glasses with no idea how much credit they could get on Instagram for them.
Very cool.
So proper glassware is like it's a bit of a culture, isn't it? It might even be a cult. But like when you're at home, I kind of want to explore some of our behaviours around proper glassware. So if it's a beer that you've had before and you've got the correct glass, do you use it every time?
For me, yes. More often than not, yeah. You know, with the selection I've got, I always make the effort to, dig into the back of the cupboard and get the right glass out. And, you know, some of these glasses are made for individual beers. You know, there's, whatever it might be, another half
glass. Ghost in the machine glass.
Yeah, whatever it is, ghost in the machine glass, broccoli glass from other half, for example. And, and those are all specifically made for specific beers. So it's almost, it's almost one of those things I have to do is to get the proper glass out. It'd be rude not to.
It's part of the ceremony, isn't it?
Of course.
One of my favourite things ever is when we're like having a weekend where me and the girlfriend drink some beers, every 2 to 3 hours we'll have to go out to the kitchen and do like a mass wash of glasses because there's like a queue of them going up to the sink.
Yeah, and you have to be really particular in how you wash them as well. You know, the worry is that you're there with your scourer and the glass doesn't have the brewery's name on it anymore after you've given it a good wash.
Well, let's be honest, the real worry is that someone sees some bubbles in your glass and then you get shot.
That's true, yeah, the dirty glassware mafia will be after you.
What about you, Ryan? What are some of your like rules around it? Because I know some of these. I know some of your like personal proper glassware rules. And I think this is quite interesting.
I actually don't know which ones you mean, but anyway.
The festival glass thing.
Oh, yeah. Like, if I don't have the proper glassware, like the proper glass to go with the beer, I will use a festival glass that the brewery have been at. I mean, it's just a nice link-up to the actual brewery.
Because that last bit is the key caveat, isn't it? It's like, if the brewery were there at the festival, I'm allowed to use the festival glass.
Yeah. I also like using some of the other glasses that I've obtained, one of my favourite glasses is my beer snob one from Beerwolves, especially for stouts. I just like the shape of it, and especially with the gold print on it, it always like pops with it. I like with a stout, so if I don't have the proper glass for that stout, I will use the Beerwolves beer snob glass. Same with other glasses that I don't have the prop for the actual beers. I don't have a Rivington glass at the moment, and I recently used my Jacksonville Jaguars glass, so I've actually said that like an American there, Jaguars, it's Jaguars, but yeah. that's the thing, isn't it? And then if I'm not actually taking a photo for Instagram, though, I'll just grab anything. And usually my go-to glass is my Cloudwater Craftmaster glass. I just like that glass. I think it's just a cool glass to hold in your hand, and it just kind of works well. And then every beer as well.
I think everyone's got a go-to, haven't they? Either you haven't got the proper one, or if for some reason your other one, your proper one is indisposed, there's always like one in the cupboard that I go to, definitely. Simon, have you got a go-to?
I think you've hit the nail on the head. I think there's a glass shape that you just like to feel in your hand, and whether that's a pint glass or whether it's a tulip. I suppose the one for me I go to is kind of the Harmony glass, so that kind of stemless, kind of tumbler style. And I've got a Rick and Morty one that I really like, and that's kind of my you know, not affiliated with any particular brewery, but, you know, if I'm drinking something, A, that I don't have a glass for, or B, kind of, you know, just can't be asked, I'll crack that one out and have a drink out of it. And I just like the shape of it in my hand, and it's nice to hold.
Yeah, I mean, the shape one's interesting, isn't it? Because if you listen to, like, proper glass dorks about the theory behind the shapes, you know, certain ones will trap aromas and certain ones are better for certain styles. But I'm not really sure, A, if I buy into that, or B, if I've got anywhere near a refined enough palate to get any difference from it at all. But I do know there are shapes that I like. And controversially, I hate tacos. Cannot deal with tacos.
Interesting.
I've gone on a bit of a teku purge from my cabinet, mostly because they're really difficult to store because they're so
they take up a lot of space, don't they?
Yeah.
But, like, you know, the it's like a smaller, like, my go-to shape is like a smaller tulip glass stemmed, because this probably comes from my fear of drinking anything above fridge temperature, but I don't like holding the liquid in my hand. Kind of want to be able to hold it at a bit of an offset. So it's normally a stemmed one. But like that, you know, the Cloudwater stout glass, that little stemmed one.
Yeah.
That is like that. That's my go-to, I'd say.
With the gold logo.
Yeah.
The Electra one. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. I'd say, you know, the stem thing is good, but also it's small. So you'd have to pour a whole can into it to get a good photo. And also it means that you can keep the rest of the beer in the can, in the fridge at the temperature. I like it. I think what I'm revealing now is that I have a phobia of warm beer.
Or drinking the whole can.
Or drinking a whole can,
yeah. The pretentious levels there, Charlie, went through the roof.
Yeah.
Oh, no, yeah. You know what? I would say we've alienated some people, but I honestly don't think we have. Like, we know our niche with this, don't we?
Yeah,
absolutely.
So, you know, just to circle back on the glassware and experience thing, do you think that it really adds to the experience of drinking a beer, or do you think sometimes it kind of detracts from it? Because one of the things we were talking about in our first episode was like just the mindless pleasure of drinking a beer without feeling the need to go and take a photo. But do you ever find it like an interruption to the experience, or does that like add to it for you?
I suppose for me, I was just kind of thinking back to, I don't know, pre-Instagram days, and I suppose almost what kind of got me into proper glassware in the first place. And I kind of remember working in a, you know, I used to work behind a bar at a golf club when I was about 16 or 17. And I remember the kind of, you know, the club kind of captains coming in, and they would all have to have their own special tank. They've all got these pewter tankards, all with the like lids on top and stuff, and you'd have to make sure you remember to give that glass to the right person, and, you know, fill it with their beer. And I think there's probably a bit of a, you know, a bit of a kind of, you know, proper glassware associated with that whole ceremony. And then I suppose kind of as I got older, you kind of go to the pubs yourself for the first time, and, you know, they serve you a pint of Stella in a Stella glass, and it's, you know, and it's absolutely one of them things that you're like, oh, look at this big crispy boy, it's, you know, right. You know, and I think, you know, there's almost that kind of achievement, whether you went, you know, when you've had your first pint in the pub, whether you're 18 or not, you know. And I think you know, that kind of probably plays part of it. But kind of answering your question around like, does it detract, I suppose, you know, on the Stella theme, you know, I'm very, very partial to a pint of Stella, and they used to serve in those kind of tulip shaped glasses.
Yeah,
with the stem on, and I used to absolutely hate them because they'd end up like getting condensation on them and dripping all over you. And, you know, I always used to go back to, you know, if the barman pulled one of those out to pour a pint, I'd say, look, can I just have a normal pint glass? Because they end up just like dripping on you. And I think that's when it starts detracting, you know, proper glassware gone wrong.
It's like, I think Belgium probably invented proper glassware. Simon, I think you've been, haven't you? But every bar in Belgium has the specific glass for the beer that you want, and I'm wondering whether the genesis of that is being able to order another one without actually communicating, like when you've had too many of those 9% triples and you just hand them the glass back and just kind of nod, and they know exactly what you've had because you've given them the glass back.
I think there's probably some truth in that.
Yeah, possibly. So what do you think, Ryan? Does it ever like interrupt your experience, or do you kind of like the ritual behind it?
It depends, really. I think sometimes if you just kind of, if you're just like kind of chilling out and like wanting to, like you're watching a movie, it's the whole hassle in it sometimes. Like, I really can't be arsed getting up now and taking a picture of this.
Yeah.
For the, you know, taking a picture of this beer for the sake of it. I think sometimes it can interrupt, but then sometimes it does kind of, I don't know, it kind of improves the experience. I think sometimes it's kind of exciting to get that, like, especially the US beers. If you're getting all the ones, you want it, like a US beer to actually drink out of your proper glass, if you've got one of the US glasses, I think that's kind of a nice thing to actually drink it out of that. Yeah. Going back a little bit on like kind of what Simon said as well, like going back to the pub for the first time, I had like, it's kind of a similar experience with a glassware, and it's the whole thing of when you go, like before I used to like drink craft beer, and you'd go and buy like a premium lager. So if you're buying like a pint of Peroni and they served it in a Foster's glass, you kind of, I don't know, does that sound really bad? Like you'd walk around the pub and people would think you've got a pint of Foster's when really you're like, I've got the expensive stuff in here.
Yeah, no, I get that. But,
yeah. And I think that kind of does go back to that kind of like beer glass experience where you do want the beer in the correct glassware. And I think it just comes from that, I guess. And then like, it's nice. It's a nice touch in it. That's the thing. And it does, for me, yeah, it's a nice experience drinking the proper beer out of the glass. But it depends when you drink a fair few and it gets to the point where, for me, it becomes a bit of a chore to the point where you're just like, I am drinking those beers tonight because I need them in the proper glass. So I'm just going to get some I've already had before.
Yeah. This is one thing I was going to ask. Like, have you, typically, do you get the beer first and then buy the glass? Or do you buy the glass in the hope that you'll be able to get the beer?
I think I've had it. I think I've had the experience on both ways.
Yeah.
I think I've had it both times. I think I got I probably got a Monkish glass maybe before I actually. I'd had Monkish cans, I guess, in the past. But then I remember buying the getting my first Monkish glass and having getting it and going, well, I've got no Monkish beer to put in this. So I'm going to have to sit and wait to see when some drop.
Yeah. I definitely had another half glass before I'd ever had another half beer.
Really?
Yeah, I can't remember what it just came up for sale somewhere, and it was fairly reasonably priced. And I was like, I'm having that, almost like, you know, that Oprah Winfrey secret thing, where I'll just like will it into existence, like I will get some other half at some point.
Half glassware for you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's you know, it is a bit of an obsession, isn't it? And I think we're all guilty of possibly all on this call. Or podcast,
probably. Some more than most.
Yeah, you're taking it a little bit too far. Yeah. Like when I travelled down to Cornwall, when we went down in, I think it was October, and this is when you realise quite how much of a weird little niche you're in. It's trying to explain the principle of proper glassware to your parents. So I travelled down and I like bubble wrapped about 20 glasses to take down with me because I was taking all the beers and I wanted to get all the photos. And I showed up with this box of bubble wrap glasses. And they were like, are you moving back in? I was like, no, these are just my beer glasses. And they were like, well, we've got glasses. And I was like, listen, I have glasses. You do not have these glasses. And yeah, I spent, I don't know, 45 minutes trying to explain it. And they were just like, you're mental. You're absolutely mental.
I've done that myself. You know, going around for Christmas at the in-laws and taking a glass with you because you've been saving some special beers and you know, I definitely didn't explain it to them for too long, but I did get some concerned looks.
Yeah, I think like that, between that and the lambic basket, I permanently alienated myself and my family.
I've never carried a lambic basket around with me, that's for sure.
Have you not? That was where the official ailing coin term twat basket came from. So it was like, what is that twat basket? just don't worry about it.
That's sick.
Have you ever taken any glasses on holiday with you?
Personally, no. No, I don't think I have, actually. Not even kind of UK holidays.
I suppose if you count Cornwall and go and see your parents as one, I definitely have, but I've never taken them abroad.
Yeah, I've not taken them abroad. I've taken my UK holidays before.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember going, I went to Wales and I took a, I remember taking my third in glass and my cloud water glass and I had those beers. And then I went to a brewery, I went to Wild Horse Brewing while I was there as well and bought the glass plus some cans. And then obviously then I've got an Instagram photo straight away.
Yeah, for sure.
How rude not to.
Absolutely. I just think, you know, I've got quite a few now. I'm being quite selective with what I buy. But, you know, Simon, you've got like a collection, like a very specifically curated collection of some things, haven't you? But there's so much. How do you decide what you want to collect?
I don't know. I suppose it, for me, it's kind of what takes, you know, what catches my eye first and foremost. But as I said, I think, you know, even when I used to go to breweries and you go to the, you know, like Ryan said, you go to the brewery for the first time, you want the glass to go with it. And, you know, I remember going to the Experiment up in London and, you know, going there kind of three or four times going, oh, have you got the pressure drop glass yet? And they're like, oh, no, we haven't got any until next time. And, you know, went back three or four times until eventually they had it. And I was like, yes, give me the glass. I'm, you know, I'm ready for it. And I think, you know, that's primarily what I look for is kind of getting somewhere, getting almost like a keepsake to remember that visit. And I suppose around that, you know, if one of the American breweries, you know, kind of have got some, you know, interesting glassware that, you know, particularly catches my eye, then, you know, then I'll seek that out. But yeah, I suppose it's a mixture of that kind of, you know, keepsake and then, you know, whatever's kind of, you know, floating my boat that week.
Yeah. What I find myself doing increasingly now is like seeking out certain shapes for certain styles of beer. Mm-hmm. Like for, you know, for stout glasses, I tend to like the smallest possible glass because, you know, you don't want to be pouring like a whole imperial stout, or at least I don't anyway. Like I just, they absolutely wreck me. So the smallest glass I can get hold of, the better. Whereas for like sours and lambic, my kind of go-to glasses for that are those, you know, those the Dartington Cheers glasses. They're just like white wine glasses.
Yeah.
But it's just like perfect for it.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And a nice Gers glass goes down a treat as well. So yeah, particularly like the Brown Hill glass with the that kind of gold rim on it. That's a beautiful Gers glass.
Yeah, same as that. Yeah, like the little Leeds one as well. That same.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
the little Leeds glass is really good. That's another one of my go-tos as well as my cloud bottle one.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great glass. And you're right, though. I think, you know, particularly with things like stouts, you have to get kind of, you know, you have to get the right glass. You don't want to pour a barrel-aged stout into a pint glass. You want to have a little, you know, a little taster and, you know, kind of wait for it to warm up a little bit and enjoy it. So I think that's part of it. But I suppose at the point where I've got kind of almost, you know, all the different types, styles of glasses that I need, it's more around, you know, kind of what catches your eye and then the kind of new breweries that you're kind of visiting and remembering.
Yeah, there'd be no way of doing this because you'd have to use your hands, but I'd like to know whether it actually like enhances the flavour for me or anything. I don't think it would, not for me personally, but I'm a bit of a philistine when it comes to this stuff.
There's always a placebo effect, isn't there? Yeah. If you think it's doing something. And, you know, I think that's kind of part of the whole kind of ceremony of it. It's if it puts a smile on your face, then do it, you know. And I think that's one of the reasons I enjoy it so much, because, you know, I do enjoy drinking out of it. And, you know, regardless of whether I'm taking a photo or whether I'm just using the proper glassware for my own benefit, you know, it does bring a smile to my face and I enjoy that kind of ceremony.
Yeah. I think a lot of people listening will resonate with that, because I think that our audience is 95% the Instagram beer community.
Yeah, for sure.
So I think that kind of brings us to a nice kind of close to our chat today. Hope you've enjoyed this episode, everyone. What we'd love to know is what your go-to glass is, either in terms of shape or, you know, a non-brewery glass that you go to if you haven't got the right one, or even some of your own personal rules around glassware or your kind of your practices and habits. So let us know in a comment under this post, and we'll make sure we read them out on the next episode. So just before we close, let's say a massive thank you to Simon for sparing the time to come and talk to us about his incredible glassware collection.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. And just before we close, again, a massive thank you to everyone that's listening. We've had a great response so far, and we're going to keep up the episodes if you keep enjoying them. So until next time, it's bye from me.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers, all.